الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, Hazrat Maulana has instructed me that since it is the occasion of nikah, we discuss a few aspects with regards to nikah, and more particularly in the Masnoon Khutbah which we recite on the occasion of nikah, to briefly discuss those ayat and the commentary on those ayat. Of course, every single ayah of the Quran al-Kareem is an ocean, and if you have to really make proper tafsir of any ayah of the Quran Sharif, then it requires hours and hours. There have been tafasir and commentaries of the Quran Sharif written in volumes and volumes. For example, one ayah, you will find that an entire volume is dedicated to just one ayah of the Quran Sharif. A mufassir has written an entire volume just discussing the commentary of one ayah of the Quran Sharif. So therefore, every single ayah of the Quran Sharif is full of guidance, full of hidayah for every single one of us. Now, we might say that it is an occasion of nikah, so this talk is only discussed and only directed at the nikah parties. But in reality, each and every one of us is in some relationship of the or the other. A person is a parent, or a person is a child, a person is an employer or an employee, or a person is a husband or wife. So every single person is in some sort of relationship. And these ayat of nikah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to man and advises man how to conduct himself in any such relationship. Therefore, each and every one of us should make niyyah of practicing upon these ayat. Unfortunately, nowadays we find that each and every one of us is fighting for our rights. And Hazrat Maulana always says that we should not go by the book of rights, but rather we should go by the book of ihsan. If every single person fights for his rights and is not bothered and interested whether or not he is fulfilling the right of the next person, then we will not get anywhere. We must remember that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask us, did that person fulfill your right? Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us and question us, did we fulfill the right of our parents? Did we fulfill the rights of our wives? Or for the women folk, did they fulfill the rights of their husbands? And did the parents fulfill the rights of their children? Did the employer fulfill the rights of his employee? And vice versa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question each and every one of us. Therefore, we should look into our lives that are we fulfilling the rights which are laid upon us or not? And if we are not fulfilling those rights, then we should go and strive and endeavor to fulfill the right of the next person, and not only fulfill the right, but rather go by the book of ihsan. The first verse which I recited in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. And we always hear this ayah in the khutbah of nikah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, O people who have iman, ittaqullah, fear Allah. And if you look at all the three ayat which are found in the khutbah of nikah, they have one salient feature, and that is this element of taqwa. And this is Allah consciousness and the fear of Allah. If we will adopt this taqwa in our lives, respected elders and brothers, then we will not require any police force, and we will find that every single person will realize that he will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have the fear of Allah in the relationship of nikah, then the husband will know that if I do not fulfill the right of the wife, then though many people might not find out, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, He's all seeing, He's all knowing, He's monitoring my every action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware what we speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears what we speak, sees what we do. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even knows the thoughts which cross our minds. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us why we did not fulfill those rights, or why were we abusive, or why were we vulgar. So if a person adopts this element of taqwa in his life, then it will become very easy for him to fulfill the rights which have Shariat has placed upon him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, ittaqu Allah, fear Allah, wa qulu qawlan sadida, and speak that which is haq. Mufassirin have elaborated on this, that a person should speak that which is full of justice. There should be no injustice and zulm in his speech. A person must not create disunity in his speech. A person must not create a rift, or he must not injure a person with his speech. Hazrat Maulana always says that this tongue is a weapon of mass destruction, and if it is used correctly, it can also become a tool of good construction. We find that in one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. A Muslim is that person from whose tongue and hands other Muslims are safe. Now the question might arise, that is this only confined to the tongue and hand? The reason ulama ikram have mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confined it to merely the tongue and hand was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was jawami'ul kalim. He used a few words, but the meaning was very, very vast. It covered many, many departments and many aspects. And because majority of the injury is caused by number one, the tongue and the hands, that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam isolated these. That if people are safe from the most fatal organs, the tongue and hand, then obviously they will be safe from the legs or from any other form of injury or abuse. And similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun, that other Muslims are safe from that Muslim. In other words, does it mean that if a person causes injury to a kafir, so then he is excused? No, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, Mufass Muhaddithin mentioned, that because a Muslim generally interacts more with Muslims, a husband with his wife, she is a Muslim, children with their parents, generally Muslims, and vice versa, and we in the masjid, we have Muslims around us. So if those people who are constantly in our company, if they are safe, then those people who we interact with less, they will be even more safe. So just as we will not cause injury to the Muslims with our tongues and our hands, similarly we will not cause any form of injury or hurt to even the kuffar and the non-believers. So we find that sometimes the stung, respected elders and brothers, the injury which is caused by the stung is so severe that it seldom heals. A poet says, جِرَاحَاتُ السِّنَانِ لَهَا الْتِيَامُ وَلَا يَلْتَامُ مَا جَرَحَ اللِّسَانُ, that the wound which is caused by a spear, it heals very, very quickly, and eventually it will heal. But that injury which is caused by the tongue, it seldom heals. A person sometimes utters such a statement, and a person says, I'll never forget what he said. He hurt me with his tongue. So we find that this tongue can create disunity between families, it can create friction, it can create such anger that we find nations can be destroyed. And similarly, on the other hand, if a person uses his tongue correctly, people can get hidayah, he can cause unity between two parties where a conflict has taken place. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this relationship of nikah, a person, whether it is the husband or whether it is the wife, they should learn to use their tongues correctly. The wife should speak in such a manner that pleases the husband. And similarly, the husband should speak in such a manner that pleases the wife. If we look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we look at the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find that if we want to judge a person's character, respected elders and brothers, we should always ask those people who he comes into more contact with. A person's wife, a person's husband, a person's parents, or the children, they will be in the best position to explain the character of this person. Many times we find a person when he comes in the masjid or when he meets in public, he displays an image of great kindness and compassion, very, very loving, very, very caring, very, very sharing. But when he is in the home, then we find there is a complete different picture. We find he is very, very harsh, he is very demanding, he has no sort of tolerance, no sort of feeling for the next person. Now look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was asked, what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. The character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was like that of the Qur'an. The Qur'an Kareem calls respected elders and brothers towards kindness, towards understanding, towards love. Now we must understand that now we are addressing an audience of menfolk. As Hazrat Maulana mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, last week, he said, we menfolk, we only seem to remember one hadith when it comes to rights of husband and wife. The hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that had I ordered anyone to prostrate to anyone other than Allah, then I would have ordered the wife to prostrate to the husband. So Hazrat Maulana says that's the only hadith that we men folk seem to remember. But we forget all those other ahadith wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directs the Muslim ummah towards kindness, towards understanding, towards forgiveness, towards tolerance. So we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, similarly Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha, when we find in the occasion when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed to him, he came home in a state of great fear and he said, I am going to be destroyed. Now look at what Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha, what she says and how she describes the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Maulana, on many occasions he has discussed this. She says, Kalla wallahi, never, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never destroy you because you are kind, you are loving and so on. The different qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find this is the best time to analyze a person's character in the home. Therefore we should all try our best, respected elders and brothers, that when we walk in the homes, we should walk with a smiling face, with a cheer, with a happy face. We should learn to leave our problems outside the home. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. If we will do this, يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our good deeds and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive our sins. In other words, respected elders and brothers, if a person does not adopt these qualities, then there is great fear that his good deeds will not be accepted. And it boils down to respected elders and brothers' character. A woman was mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that she is a woman of great piety. She performs a lot of nawafil salah and she fasts very, very often. But ya Rasulullah, she is very, very harsh. She causes takleef to her neighbors. She is very, very vulgar with her tongue. She injures people with her tongue. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to the effect that she will be in the fire of Jahannam. And on the other hand, they said, ya Rasulullah, there is another woman that she fulfills her basic duties, the fara'id, but she doesn't do anything extra. She doesn't fast that often. But she is very, very kind. She has excellent akhlaq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that she will be in Jannah. So respected elders and brothers, but now we must see also, many times we say, yes, that person, he is performing so much of salah and everything. He performs 5 times salah, but his character is very, very bad. So it's okay, I perform 1 salah a day or 1 salah a week, at least my character is good. But look at this hadith, this woman, she was performing the basic fara'id. The example which we give is of that person who is hired by an employer and he is told to work from 5 or from 7 till 5. But he doesn't pitch up from 7 to 5. But after 5 he comes to the job and he starts sweeping outside and he starts cleaning the windows. And when people ask him, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm doing extra work. I'm cleaning the windows for love of the boss. So the boss would say, but I hired you for work from 7 to 5. Why are you not doing that work? I didn't ask you to do this work. I am paying you for this particular work. Understand? And on the other hand, if a person works from 7 to 5, but he doesn't do anything extra, the employer will be more happy with that person who is doing the work for which he was hired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed certain responsibilities upon us. That we have to perform 5 times salah, we have to fast in the month of Ramadan, we have to fulfill the rights which have been placed upon us. And then, over and above that, we have to have good character, we have to have good akhlaq, we have to be charitable. So respected elders and brothers, we have to enter into deen in totality. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, coming back to the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will accept your good deeds and He will forgive your sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That person who obeys Allah and His Rasul, then he has achieved true success. And this is true success, respected elders and brothers. That person who obeys Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will be successful and he will enter the gardens of Jannah. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. That person who is saved from the fire of Jannah and he enters into paradise, he is successful. So this must be our yardstick for success. That are we obeying Allah and are we obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If not, then we are going the wrong way, respected elders and brothers. And not only will we suffer if we disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in fact the entire Muslim ummah will suffer. If we will disobey the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the entire Muslim Ummah, in fact the entire world, will suffer. An incident which comes to mind in the Battle of Uhud. We know that in the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed 50 archers at the rear of the army, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made Hazrat Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu the Amir of these 50 archers, and he had given them the strict instructions that under any circumstances you should not move, leave your post. And we know that the battle took place, and initially the Muslims were gaining victory and they started collecting the booty of war, and thereafter things went the wrong way. But we find that those archers, when they were watching over the Muslim army, when they looked at the army, they saw that the Muslims were gaining victory and they saw the Muslims were collecting the war booty. So some of these archers, they said that, why don't we, looks like the battle is over, looks like the Muslims have won, so let us go and let us get our share of war booty. Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu, he was the Amir, he said, don't you remember the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said that we must not move from here under any circumstance. But it so happened that most of those archers went down and only 10 archers remained. And we know Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was not yet a Muslim at that time. He launched an attack from the rear, and havoc came upon the Muslim army, and many Sahaba ikram lost their lives. Now this is a mistake which Sahaba ikram made, but at the same time we have no right to look down upon any Sahabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, ulama ikram explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that sometimes the Sahaba ikram were made to make mistakes so that the entire Muslim ummah can learn from their mistakes. That if such a mistake is made, or if such a crime is committed, or such a sin is committed, then how do we make amends? After Sahaba ikram made mistakes, look at the tawbah that they made. There was a Sahabiya who committed adultery. Thereafter, she was stoned, and certain Sahaba ikram made certain statements. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً لَوْ قُسِمَتْ بَيْنَ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That the Sahabiya has made such a tawbah. She has been so sincere in a tawbah that if a tawbah has to be distributed upon the people of Medina Sharif, it will forgive all their sins. So these were the Sahaba ikram. They made certain mistakes so that today we can learn. The lesson we learn, that when these Sahaba ikram did not listen to the instruction, did not obey the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only did they suffer, but the entire Muslim ummah, the entire Muslim army suffered. Similarly, respected elders and brothers, if we will disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then not only will we suffer, but the entire Muslim ummah will suffer. We are all complaining of the different situations which are coming upon us in this country, the insecurity and the load shedding and so on. We should look into our lives, respected elders and brothers. How much are we obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Each and every person should look into his own life. Is he obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? If not, respected elders and brothers, then we need to make a change, and we need to make a resolution that we will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respected elders and brothers, we'll find our life full of peace, full of satisfaction, full of happiness. In a relationship between husband and wife, if the husband makes sure that he fulfills the rights of the wife, and in fact not only fulfills the rights of the wife, goes the further, the extra mile, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with him, and then he will be living in gardens of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things work in his favor. At present we are complaining, this is going wrong, that is going wrong. We should see, are we violating the rights of any person? If we are violating the rights of any person, respected elders and brothers, let us lower ourselves, let us humble ourselves, and let us ask for forgiveness, and let us make reform ourselves. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give barakah in this nikah, to unite the two parties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with pious and righteous offspring, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the two families, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give each and every one of us the ability to fulfill the rights which and responsibilities which have been laid upon us by Sharia. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.